Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We've got a jam-packed Beltway Blitz for you on Grant and Danny today. Broadcasting live from my basement in the Commonwealth of Virginia, which is doing great. Danny in the laundry room from his abode in the nation's capital. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. On the Blitz, Les Carpenter on the Redskins, Jesse Dougherty on the Nationals, and Chris Russell to round things out for us coming up in just a few. But without further ado, before you go vote at Grant H. Paulson on our poll of the day for the best appetizer in a sports bar, you got to listen to the sounder right now as we get the Blitz started with football. Les Carpenter of the Washington Post. Les, are you going to be writing about football at all? I was seeing the story. We're going to talk about this on the show in a little bit. The Post is having many of its sports reporters and writers cover other things now, and they're getting rid of the sports section for a little while. It sounds like it's going to be tucked inside Style, I guess. Give us some details if you're able to.
Yeah, you probably know about as much as I do, but yeah, I think we're going to, tuck the print sports behind the Style section, but which is what the New York Times has been doing for years with its sports section behind Business. And, I think a few of our writers, non-football writers, because football is the only sport that's really going on right now, oddly enough, are going to be doing some coverage of the coronavirus. So, but it's needed right now. This is an important time.
Yeah, Les, before you guys get to work on that, we'll talk about more trivial matters, a.k.a., you know, NFL free agency here. And analyze for me, what do you think the Redskins have done to this point? What's the strategy? It seems to be we can't fix everything in one offseason and we'd rather, you know, sort of build around the edges than overpay. What are your thoughts to their approach?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It seems like a smart, you know, kind of strategic move right now. I mean, they made a huge swing at what I would consider to be the best non-quarterback offensive player in free agency with Amari Cooper. And if you didn't get him, then don't go wasting your money stretching it to get a player that could kind of fill a hole but may not be the guy that you really truly want. Don't go waste your money at tight end if you're just going to go ahead and get somebody in the fourth or fifth round that may just turn out to be in a year or two, you know, the next George Kittle. You don't know. I don't hate what they've done in free agency. It feels like they've made that team a lot more mature. They've added a lot of veterans. I think that was a problem on that defense last year, just not having enough guys that really knew what to do in the NFL yet because they were all first and second year players.
Less of the moves that they've made so far, you know, Kendall Fuller at corner, you bring in Wes Schweitzer at guard, you add a running back, a safety, a backup tight end. Who do you think ends up helping them the most? And just give us an idea of where you think they have improved the most over these last 72 hours.
Well, I mean, we all know what Kendall Fuller could do. And I think that just is the slam dunk. Well, that's a good move to go get a starting caliber, corner who can do a lot of different things. I'm intrigued by a few others. I'm intrigued by the Logan Thomas signing at tight end because this is a guy who's still tight end is new to. He's had some valuable games. I thought he played fairly well down the stretch last year for the Lions. You remember the touchdown he had at FedEx. I think that could be a very intriguing signing. Sean Davis could be an intriguing one too. You just don't know yet because his career trajectory got a little interrupted last year. So I look at a lot of these and say, there's some guys who you could project maybe in a year, maybe towards the end of this year or begin middle of this year, as being decent players. The others to me are more guys that I think add culture, add you know, depth. I just don't think this team has been very deep the last couple of years, and we've seen it when the injuries hit.
Les, what are they going to do at quarterback, non-Dwayne Haskins division?
It's an interesting question. I don't know. Ron Rivera has talked about it a lot, that he wants very strong competition for Dwayne Haskins. It doesn't look like you're going to see them go out and get a starting caliber of, say, you know, obviously they're not going to get Mariota now, but they didn't really pursue that type of guy. If there's maybe a bargain out there, maybe they do that. Who knows? Maybe Alex Smith is coming along more than we've thought. I'd still say that's a long shot, but I think that one's TBD, and I don't know that answer is really clear yet.
Outside of the Redskins, just for a second, you covered the league for years before coming back to cover the Skins. What did you make of the departure of Tom Brady? I think a lot of us said this might happen, and then when it did, we all acted like we had no actual thought that it would. Are you surprised that he left Bill Belichick and flew out of the nest?
No, I think he needed to do it for himself. I just don't know that the weapons were there in New England to win another title. I think he knew that. This divorce probably could have happened a couple of years before if the potential hadn't still been there to keep winning. But I think last year kind of made it clear, and seeing what was going to be coming back made it probably very clear to him, look, we could probably be pretty good, but I don't know that this is truly a championship thing. And if so, then I think it probably was time. And it was going to come sometime, and it was going to be hard, but you got to make that break.
Les, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time, man, and stay safe.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll see you, buddy. There he goes. Let's talk baseball, please, Tommy. My buddy Jesse Dougherty covers the Nationals. Jesse, before we get to the matters at hand, tell folks about the book. When does it drop, or has it dropped, and how can folks order it?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Danny. Buzzsaw comes out next Tuesday, March 24th, so we're coming up on release day, and pre-orders are already starting to trickle out, so sort of an inexact science of how the book ship. But if you did pre-order it, you might get it one of these days. So, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, all your independent bookstores in your neighborhood, I'm sure, are still taking shipping orders, and it's a great time to also help them since they're obviously having tough financial times with this shutdown. But I appreciate you guys asking. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and we're excited to get our hands on it as well. And I'll tell you, Jesse, this is not a bad time to be ordering a book with people being at the house.
It's not.
They need to be doing something. Why not reading Buzzsaw, your new offering? What is the latest, if anything, on Major League Baseball's meetings with teams and what clubs have decided to do? I saw yesterday they might skip the Major League Baseball draft, which would be stunning. Does that mean altogether or push it back a few months? How would that work?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some rumbles about that. I think, obviously, the details are still being ironed out. You'd hope, you know, for the sake of all these players that have been preparing for this for their whole lives and for the last couple of years, that it would be a pushback scenario rather than a skip altogether. Obviously, the biggest complication with that has been scouting without college baseball going on right now and all high school shut down. There just isn't really an opportunity for teams to see players. And a lot of the tape or a lot of the scouting reports will be old by the time the draft comes around in June. So, it's obviously tough. I mean, you lose some leverage financially if you're a player. If you age a year, I mean, it just becomes sort of a different scenario for you. So I really hope it doesn't come to that just because there's a lot of people who could be affected. But, you know, with anything with this virus, I mean, things are getting affected all over the place. So this might just be another thing to add to the list.
We've talked about this before, but how long do you think realistically, because it's basically like spring training never happened almost at this point, right, with some of the layoffs that are going to incur. How long do you think guys need to get ramped up to actually play again if and when it happens?
Yeah, my estimation is 2 weeks. I don't think it will be like a 6-week buildup again, but I could be wrong. It really is up to players right now to stay in shape, stay sort of, you know, in the rhythm while they're away, which obviously is hard to do without games. I mean, I'm sure guys will be in the cage, or pitchers will throw their bullpens every 5 days or every other day if you're a reliever, and try and stay in shape that way. We're still sort of getting in touch with guys and trying to figure out what routines look like. That's been difficult as well, but I could see a 2 to 3 week buildup where you build in, you know, 5 days of workouts, a week of games, and then get this thing going. Knowing also that, you know, I've heard again rumbles that it's going to still try and fit in the 162 game season. That's looking increasingly unlikely. So knowing that you're building up for 100 games rather than 162 probably also does shorten the time in which you need to prepare. So I think, you know, those two things will be connected when it comes down to it. So once we understand the length of season, we'll have a better understanding of the length of the buildup that needs.
Jesse Dougherty, Buzzsaw's the book on last year's World Series run. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
On Grant and Danny on this Beltway Blitz, we pivot to our guy, Chris Russell. Slasherini. Alex Ovechkin was chasing down Wayne Gretzky with all kinds of pace and speed, this is going to slow that a little bit. He already had to deal with the work stoppage. He's probably not going to get to 50 goals now because of this wackiness. And I know in a very small hockey bubble that pales in comparison to what people are actually dealing with. But I am curious, you know, what this means for Ovi, robbing him of the 50-goal season. And, you know, for his Gretzky chase, this matters if he's short, you know, 10 or 12 goals at the end of this season, right?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, every game lost and every game that they're probably not going to be able to make up is going to take away. Now, what I'm most interested in is how they handle his contract. And he's got one more year left after this year. And do they do a two-year contract extension? Do they do a three-year? Like, what? I mean, you look at him, and we all know how much better of a two-way player he's become over the years. He doesn't get hurt. He's in phenomenal shape. He obviously still is great at what he does. You'd like to think that he could still play another three more years at least, maybe four. You know, who knows? I mean, this hurts. There's no doubt about it, but I wouldn't rule it out as long as we're not still talking about no hockey next October.
Russell, I got to ask you about NFL free agency, and what are you mad about? I couldn't quite figure it out. I'm reading your Twitter account every once in a while.
What are you
seem
mad about?
Well, you seem
what
upset.
Do you mean, what am I mad about?
That should be a segment we do every day, Danny. We bring Russell on, and we go, what are you mad about?
Well, I have been Mr. Positive. I've had my pom-poms on for the burgundy and gold, Danny.
Well, I just mean, Grant, what I'm talking about is you and I are, like, thanking our lucky stars that the NFL decided to continue
that.
The free agency.
Oh, that.
And Russell is, like,
because
I don't know
people
what,
are idiots.
What are you mad about?
Well, there's fax machines, and you don't have, you can have Skype. Yeah, you dummies forgot about, no offense, you forgot about the physicals part. You forgot that they're not allowed to travel. You forgot that they're not in buildings. And I'll just give you two Redskins examples. What happened to Bashaud Breeland when he went from Redskins to the Carolina Panthers? Physical, had to take it, contract void. Same thing for Ryan Grant. This stuff matters. This is why I said delay free agency. Look, I know it's good for us. I know we'd be desperately looking for information. I got that part. But people just want what they want. They don't think of any of the ramifications. That's my point.
You don't sound mad at all, Russell.
You know what I'm saying, Grant?
You sound calm.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I'm happy to have something to talk about. Can we talk about J.D. McKissick?
Sure. What do you think of him?
And the end of the Chris Thompson era, buddy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Say goodbye to Chris Thompson. Look, three career drops, I think, on 90 targets. That's not bad, right? I think he's got a little pop and wiggle after contact. I think he's a really good, you know, kind of check down-ish type, flat, when everybody's paying attention to everyone running routes, you know, four verticals and all that kind of stuff, especially if he can find, you know, some weapons. I think they have some weapons. I think people are going to pay no attention to him, and I think he's going to be a constantly revolving threat out of the flat and, again, on check downs when they get in trouble, which is absolutely going to happen. I think he's a secure ball catcher. I think he's got a little pop after contact. I saw a pass, I saw a 44-yard run against the Eagles on a little double kind of reverse, like a little wingback reverse. So he's got a little sizzle in the leg still. I like the move. I mean, I feel bad for Chris Thompson. He's a great guy. Grant, you know him. He just can't stay healthy. And even when he's been quote-unquote healthy, he hasn't been anywhere near explosive in the last couple of years.
Slashy, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you, pal.
12:45 on Grant and Danny, day four of our movie club. Between now and then, we'll discuss the Redskins' biggest needs. What are they going to do at left tackle and tight end? They have not solved those dilemmas. Next, why it's a great day to be Jared Goff. What is happening in sports right now that has not happened in 26 years? And why Eric Bickle and Darius Geis are in a bit of a Twitter fight? You're listening to The Fan. For the first time since the 1994 Major League Baseball strike, there will be no Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, or NFL games for at least seven consecutive days. That year, we went 23 straight days without those sports from August 12th through September 3rd. The NFL kicked off the following day on September 4th. 26 years since we have had this little involvement from our sports in our lives. And it's even worse, obviously, A, with everyone's fear and concern and a pandemic going on, and B, with the inability to do other things like going out to restaurants or movies. So I don't even know that it computes. But, Danny, we are living now in times that actually have not happened as a sports fan. If it feels that way, it's because that's the case for almost three decades.
One of my novelty items is what was going to be a game ball from the 1994 World Series that my dad got for me years ago that I still have. It's, of course, the World Series that never happened. Because of that, and it's kind of a neat piece of trivia and minutia. But yeah, it's weird, man. There are lull periods, like during the summertime, right? Like during the All-Star break, before the Home Run Derby happens, before baseball kind of descends on one city in a non-Olympic, non-World Cup kind of year, where there's quite literally nothing happening, and that's the time for shtick. Well, this is that, but not during that time. This should be, by the way, my number one sports day of the year: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. NCAA tournament. It's the best. I love it so much. It's wall to wall, nothing but dramatics, nothing but upsets, nothing but brackets and almost and covering the spread and last minute buzzer beaters and everything else. It's glorious and it's perfect and it's the only thing like it in the world. Nobody else has anything like the NCAA tournament the way that we do. And that's gone. It's all quiet, which is so weird.
I had not thought at all today about that, by the way. That's the first time I've realized today would have been the opening day of the tournament.
I mean, this is the, you skipped stuff at school to go down to the AV room and turn on CBS and catch a call. This is the boss button at work when I had a government contracting job. And I wasn't supposed to be doing that at all, but just was casually live streaming games. And at first people got mad. Then after 20 minutes, some 14 seed is within a bucket of Kansas. And next thing you know, everybody's gathered around my computer screen to watch. It's the best, man. And it's gone. It's not here.
Good day to be Jared Goff. Not a great day to be most people, but a good day to be Jared Goff. You ask why. Well, he's going to get $21 million in a bonus guaranteed to him and paid out to him today. I don't know if that's direct deposit right into his bank account or how that works, but he gets a $21 million bonus today. In addition to that, another $43 million in guaranteed money in the future becomes fully guaranteed for Jared Goff that he will get in payments in the future and bonuses. That all comes his way today. So the $21 million before the end of the night, I'm assuming right into that bank account, and then $43 million more at some point he'll be getting just based on today being March 19th, 2020. For a guy who became an encumbrance, I mean, he was a nuisance to Sean McVay probably last year, hindrance to what they were trying to accomplish and a liability to that offense. As he goes, clearly, so will go the Rams. I think you'd say that about any quarterback moving forward. But two seasons ago, 32 touchdowns, 12 picks. They get to the Super Bowl. Last year, 22 touchdowns, 16 picks. Rating fell off by about 15 points and change, and they didn't make the playoffs. If he is who he was last year, they're in huge trouble. If he can be better than that, McVay can mix some potions and work some magic, then the Rams can pretty quickly rebound in the NFC West.
I think even if he's the average of what he was for those two seasons, they're in trouble, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy that had two really good years back-to-back, averaging 30 touchdowns and about nine and a half picks. That's Pro Bowl stuff. Well, that last year, he kind of got exposed a little bit when more was asked of him. They threw it more than they had to. Granted, some of the things fell apart around them with the Rams, but I don't want to say people caught on to the genius of Sean McVay. They were still pretty good despite a bunch of issues, but I'm with you. Having Todd Gurley kind of go off a cliff here as the injuries have piled up on him, he's not the same. Next thing you know, Jared Goff, despite a really good system, as good as there is in the sport, really good wide receivers, no true number one, but a bunch of guys that people would love to have, just sort of operating as a Kansas City light out west, it looked really, really bad. It did not look right watching him, just struggle and sling it around. 22-16, that's fine if the year's 1984. It ain't. It's 2020, and that's just not going to butter the biscuit.
Today's Grant and Danny non-sports poll, available to be voted on right now at Grant H. Paulson, a poll a day throughout the COVID-19 home shows. Today's question, what is the best sports bar appetizer? Danny voted for mozzarella sticks.
I did.
They're getting 12.6% of the vote. I voted for buffalo wings.
You're a wings guy.
They're getting 54.1% of the vote. They're your leader. Nachos, second at 25.7%. Potato skins, just completely disrespected, getting only 7.6% of the vote. 1,581 of you have already voted at Grant H. Paulson. Go be 1,582 right now as you listen to G&D. We get ready for the movie club, 12:45 today. What film will we decide to watch? We're going to find out in about 20 minutes. Plus, our detailed analysis on She's Out of My League, a good chick flick romantic comedy that we watched last night. All right, let's get into the Redskins' needs. They have upgraded at corner. Not massively necessarily at these other positions, but I think substantially at corner, where you go get Kendall Fuller to play the nickel, moves Fabian Moreau outside where he's better. You've got Jimmy Moreland still as now a fourth guy. Dunbar, it doesn't look like, is going anywhere. So I think if you could sign another corner on the outside like Logan Ryan or somebody like that, I wanted to do that within the last 24 hours with Desmond Trufant. I actually think their corner situation would look really good all of a sudden. You know, if you have Fuller in the nickel with your new starter and Quentin Dunbar on the outside, if he could stay healthy, and then you have Fabian Moreau and Moreland for depth, you're pretty much five deep there with a lot of young upside. So corner, they've gotten better, clearly. Safety, they still have work to do. There's no doubt about that. But they actually made an addition yesterday, and by doing so, they feel like now with Landon Collins at strong safety, they've got a new starting free safety in Sean Davis, who was a two-year starter for the Steelers before getting hurt in week one last season. They didn't do much at tight end. I mean, if you want to say that Logan Thomas, the former starting quarterback for the Virginia Tech Hokies, helps you there, okay, I guess. Inside linebacker, Thomas Davis made 112 tackles last year, has been added. John Bostic made 100 tackles last year, has been re-signed, and they brought in someone to help play special teams as well. And while losing Flowers was a hit, they have a competitive situation at left guard with Wes Martin and Wes Schweitzer. Is this the first left guard competition between Wes's in the
NFL?
Only
Wes's. Only Wes's play that left guard spot, it looks like.
Wes McElroy, our buddy who does radio in Richmond, I was told is negotiating with the team right now. I don't know if my sources are correct on that or not. They want him to compete at left guard.
With all the respect to our buddy Wes, this is not a good option. If it's down to Wes McElroy, I think there are going to be issues. And I like Wes an awful lot. Just doesn't have the size.
How much more football have you watched Wes Schweitzer play than Wes McElroy, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say it's only slightly more. Now, Schweitzer, which is going to be fun for Dieter to say when we do bits later on. Again, we will get there probably early next week. But Schweitzer, this is a guy that was kind of in and out of the starting lineup in Atlanta. And, you know, he's a grinder. He's a hard worker. I think probably a will over skill just in terms of some of the things I was reading. And I know Atlanta folks were kind of all too happy to move on. It's sometimes not fair. I mean, I think at the times of, you know, I probably was too hard on Sean LaValle. I think he was probably an adequate starter. He was okay. But I just remember the number of times he'd be put on skates and would be, you know, 8 yards back in the backfield by some defensive tackle, walking him back into the quarterback's lap. So, you know, but a guy that's competitive as a, you know, a 1A option maybe at the left guard spot, you could certainly deal with that.
I'm with you on that. I don't think they did badly there because they didn't want to spend right. that highly.
Right. Because you're already spending a lot on your right guard, yeah.
Exactly. You're spending so much on Scherf that you're not going to break the bank at left guard. And if you wanted to spend there, you would have just kept Flowers, who wanted to be here anyway. But he went and got $10 million a year from Miami. But with those players and those positions worked on, still nothing at left tackle, where there's no reason to believe Trent Williams is going to be here in week one. And still a gaping deficiency and a massive hole at tight end, which I think is malpractice when you have a young quarterback. The best way to get that guy comfortable and to get Haskins playing better football and to allow him to have a chance to succeed is to give him a weapon at that position. Now, the tight end market didn't have that many of them, and they certainly haven't made any leaps toward getting anybody. Maybe they're just going to wait till the draft and try to find a steal in the third round. But let's talk needs next, and we can open up the phones for you, 800-636-1067. Bigger need, left tackle or tight end. Would you still list corner in that conversation? What about wide receiver? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. What position are you more worried by as far as the Redskins go, as free agency is officially underway and the tampering period now several days old? Left tackle, where Trent Williams looks like he's almost certainly going to be traded. Donald Penn is not currently under contract. You don't play games in March, luckily, or else Jaron Christian would be your starting left tackle. or tight end, which in today's NFL is not that much of a drop-off in terms of importance. And yet you've got a quarterback in college who's never caught 25 passes in a season, and Jeremy Sprinkle and Hale Hinches as your tight ends right now. 800-636-1067. Danny, what do you care more about of those two positions?
Believe it or not, it's tight end. And same. It's strange to think that because of how we were raised, right? Think of the Redskins fans. Think of being what it means to be a Washingtonian who loves the Washington Redskins. You're everybody from Joe Jacoby to Jim Lachey to Chris Samuels to, obviously most recently Trent Williams. We've had nothing but luxury at that left tackle spot. Great, great players there, right? And you see the importance of that. But to me right now, you need someone to impact the defense to allow everyone else to eat. The development of Dwayne Haskins, I think, is so, so important, so critical, obviously, for this. And I know you need to protect him. That's obvious. That's intuitive. But I think you can get away with okay at that spot and still get some growth. I don't think you can get away anymore from not having multiple impactful offensive weapons in this day and age in the NFL. And I think they need to be way more dynamic at tight end. It'll help the run game. It'll help the pass game. It'll help Dwayne Haskins immeasurably.
Yeah, and that's the key for me is make Haskins comfortable. Give him a chance with weapons. And there is no position, I don't think, that's more helpful and more beneficial for a young quarterback than that blanket and safety valve underneath in the tight end operating between the line of scrimmage and 12 to 13, 14 yards downfield. They've just got to do it. At this point, there's not a lot of options in terms of high – level players available. You got to go Delanie Walker, Eric Ebron probably in free agency. But then I think you got to draft a tight end in the third round with your second pick. If you don't trade back. If you trade back, then you do it earlier with whatever second rounder you get or maybe the best tight end in the draft that you like the most and later in the first if you have two first-round picks or something. But they got to find a way to figure this out and to upgrade that position. That's not to say left tackle is not also important for a young quarterback, because it is, but I think you can more easily coach around that deficiency. You can operate as a play caller with the screen game, or you can run in the other direction. There are things you can do to get by. Heck, they had Donald Penn at left tackle for 16 games last season, or most of them anyway, as a 36-year-old, and it wasn't that often. You knew it wasn't a strength, but it wasn't that often you said, man, if only they had a better left tackle than Donald Penn, that play would have worked, or they could have won that game.
Yeah, there are moments where he's going to get beat, and that is absolutely a thing, right? I mean, I would say it's more frequent than it's going to happen for Trent Williams, but I'm with you. How many times did you go, well, they couldn't move the football that possession because their left tackle wasn't very good, right? That they were, it was the entire running game was breaking down. And really, the tight end to me is the most instrumental in that. Because when Jeremy Sprinkle trotted on the field for the last couple years, the entire world knew that it was a run play. And you couldn't throw to him enough. You couldn't punish people for loading up on that because he wasn't dynamic enough. The offenses right now that are crushing it, basically, you can call two plays in the huddle, right? And you can look at the defense and say, you guys stay in nickel. George Kittle's coming off the edge, and he's going to hunt that 195-pound guy and knock his you-know-what into the dirt. If you load up and have a base defense, George Kittle's running right past your linebacker. You've got to have extra leverage to deal with a guy like that, right? And that, to me, is something that I covet, whether it's Kelsey, whether it's Kittle, even guys that are sort of, aren't as well-known. You need that person to impact the defense at this stage because this is now a league of sub-packages and matchups. The base defense is almost irrelevant. You spend a quarter of your time in it, right? So when people get hung up on the Redskins 34 versus 43, very little of that matters. All you're doing is pattern matching to what the offense is doing. And if you can dictate matchups on offense, you got a chance to be consistently good.
You can call us at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. We get the occasional call during free agency to talk about things like signing a 37-year-old linebacker, right? We don't get the calls that they're getting on WEEI in Boston right now. We've got some audio of some of those calls. So, Tommy, why don't we play a couple of those? I want the caller who says he's no longer a Patriots fan after they got rid of Tom Brady, or I should say Tom Brady moved on. They didn't get rid of him as much as the two parted ways and Brady decided that he was going to go play in Tampa Bay. This is on WEEI reacting to the news yesterday.
Good for Tom Brady. I'll watch every game, and I'll root for him. And when the Patriots get back on board, if they get their game back on board, I'll be a Patriot fan again. But don't forget this. This town was a baseball town before Tom Brady took over the New England Patriots. It'll be interesting to see what kind of town it's going to be moving forward. And I think it's going to be some tough, tough sailing for Belichick because I blame him. I'm sorry. That's where I'm going with this. I blame him. And again, congratulations, Tom. Thanks for everything you've given New England fans.
Perfect Tom. All the way down to the accent, isn't it?
Tom. Dave? Yeah, I don't know who Tom is. I know Tom.
I love when they call him Tommy. That's Tom. like the overly friendly, like Matt's become Maddie's. He's Tommy to me.
And if they start winning again, maybe I'll come back. Oh, my God, you spoiled bastard. Oh, my God, the amount of success you've endured.
Tommy, how about the caller that says this is one of the darkest days that they've ever had in Boston in their sports history? Again, this is from up in New England on WEEI as callers reacted to Brady's departure yesterday.
I'm hanging the black graves as we speak. This is one of the darkest days in Boston sports history. I got no Bruins. I got no Red Sox. Now I got no damn Tom Brady.
Darkest.
It's
one of the darkest days.
Graves as we speak. This is one of the darkest days in Boston sports history.
Is it Dak?
Sports.
This is one of the darkest days in Boston sports history.
Oh, that's fun.
Here's that one more. Fun. We got a caller that is not a Robert Kraft fan. They're blaming him for the Brady exit, not Belichick, who you heard a caller blame. No, this is all Robert Kraft's fault, even though he loves Tommy, as he calls him.
We have season tickets. We've had them forever, my family, and quite frankly, we're giving them back. It's disgusting what happened. Robert Kraft, he should have jumped in here in these negotiations. He's got no spine whatsoever with Belichick. I'm not going to spend another dime in that stadium. Not another dime.
Really?
Brady should have been. They should have at least negotiated with him and given him the opportunity to come back. It's been, well, everybody's hearing that Belichick just was done with him, and that was it.
9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 wins in the last 20 years. You've still got the coach who brought you all that success and the owner who put it all in place and allowed for the culture and the process to take hold.
Your streak of 7 straight conference championship appearances
just
was broken
snapped.
Just this past year. For a
and, by the
team.
Way, 17 division titles in 19 years, pretty much every year when Brady was healthy over the last 2 decades, they've won the division, and you're never going to spend it. He sounds like a Redskins fan talking about FedEx Field.
Yeah, I'm not spending a dime at FedEx Field because it's miserable. I'm not going there again. You should be going to New England games at stupid Foxborough for the rest of your life. You should have back payments for the 20 years you just got to walk through. When any reasonable fan in any town would kill for 3 of those years. 3 of them, not 20. He just had 20 years where their worst record was 9-7 all the way back in 2002. Pipe down. I'm not going to spend another dime in that stadium. Good. Somebody
Poor
else
guy.
Will. I know the adversity, imagine.
Poor guy. Yeah, I hope he gets over it. Times are tough, man. That is sad. That's disappointing. You know, fans in Boston, I've always said, they've got it really hard. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Next, the Grant and Danny Movie Club. Day 4 as we get you through the coronavirus. We watched She's Out of My League last night, and we got to pick a new movie. We will do it on G&D in a moment. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It's 12:45, which means it's time for our Movie Club. Day 4. We watched The Big Lebowski. We discussed it. We watched Bad Boys 2. We talked about it. And last night we watched She's Out of My League. It is time now to break down the film from all angles, things we liked, things we didn't like. And before the end of the segment, a new assignment for all of you in our movie club, a movie you can watch tonight. Danny's put together a list of some classics that we'll go through. She's Out of My League, a 2010 film, released actually this week in 2010, about 10 years ago, directed by Jim Field Smith, written by Sean Anders and John Morris. It starred Jay Baruchel and Alice Eve, who is one of the most gorgeous human beings who has ever lived. In fact, Danny, I would say the hotness of Alice Eve in this movie rivals, like, the only person I can remember being that into in any movie physically is what was her name in The Girl Next Door that I used to love?
Alicia Cuthbert
in a girl next in The Girl Next Door, like where there's a couple scenes there where she is in her just hotness peak in that film. But I would say the same about Alice Eve in this movie. Yesterday, I really like Jay Baruchel. I don't know about you. He's funny. He's kind of whiny. T.J. Miller as the jerk friend is great. And then the rest of his buddies in that movie kind of steal it. He's got the fat, funny friend, Devin, played by Nate Torrance. It's kind of almost like a cliched chick flick. It's got all the characters, all the boxes checked from any chick flick. It's like you designed it in your basement like you would one of these movies that makes fun of Scream or something, where you have to have the girl running away in the tank top. It's done in that way almost and makes fun of itself. How can a 10 go for a 5 is the catch line. I think this movie is awesome. I laughed all night long. I love She's Out of My League. I didn't think it got enough run, honestly, when it made the round 10 years ago. So I'm glad it's getting a little shine today.
It's a good little recipe, right? This is Judd Apatow before Judd Apatow makes that movie, where like a dumpy, whiny, self-absorbed guy ends up with a universally accepted, you know, hot person, right? And that, and now people kind of complain about that. But this is innocent and fun. I mean, again, you're not tuning in to see Schindler's List here, right? You know you're gonna, you know what you're gonna get. It's Jay. I don't know if it's Baruchel, Baruchel. I just know that he's he should like look up first of all. Just put your chin up. Just try to make eye contact with somebody. He's very whiny,
but that's part of his shtick.
Yeah, that fits. He's like, I'm just looking at the ground and I'm very embarrassed. This is good T.J. Miller before he kind of, you know, went off the deep end a little bit, thinking about his latest stint on HBO about Silicon Valley. So he left that show kind of in a haze and a tizzy and has gotten weirder since. But this is when T.J. Miller
was legal troubles too, having a tough go of it.
When he was at the height of his powers, and he's funny in this. He's perfect as this kind of role. It's good, a good little ensemble cast of guys that aren't big names, as you kind of alluded to. But if you look up the work of guys like Mike Vogel, not writing for the Capitals, by the way, but it's in terms of the actor, Nate Torrance, Lindsay Sloan, this kind of ensemble cast of like good improvisers and kind of comedic actors, actually, that's what makes the movie to me. The sort of, you know, Alice Eve doing an American accent, sort of orbiting around Jay Baruchel, that's fine, good story and everything else. But the guys that are funny that kind of steal it are the Vogel scenes, the T.J. Miller scenes, Nate Torrance being funny, asking kind of throughout if the one girl that he talked to for 2 seconds asked about him as kind of a theme. Kyle Bornheimer is hilarious, is sort of the dude bro brother of the main character, Kirk. That's what makes this movie good to me. It's a good little cast. Kristen Ritter went on to be in Breaking Bad. She stars Jessica Jones.
Oh, she's so good as
Netflix
the friend.
Series, but she's great as
she's
friend,
like
right?
She is Alice Eves, who's the main character girl named Molly. Mm-hmm. She's her version of what T.J. Miller is, who's like the jerk friend who doesn't want the relationship to work, to Kirk, who's played by Baruchel. But yeah, it's got that perfect like devil on their shoulder friend. Then it's got the fat, funny friend. I mean, again, you see this in all the films. And there's also, you know, the sister who's really, really pretty girl, played by Jessica St. Clair. I think her name's Debbie in the movie. Like, the family dynamics are really, really good. It's a feel-good movie, too. Obviously, the ending, they get together. But it's a good time. So, that having been said, I want to see if Thommy and Dar have any thoughts. Dar, this is one of your favorite movies. Maybe you can go first.
I just want to start by saying the scene in the basement when they play hockey is one of my favorites.
It's good.
It's a great scene.
Not in just this movie, but in all of the movies. It's so good. It's so funny.
It's very relatable.
T.J. Miller is so funny in this, and I love the movie. I am so happy that I am the one that picked this because I knew I would enjoy it, and I hoped that Danny would enjoy it because it feels like he always talks down about this movie.
In the past, I think he has, but it sounds like you had a good time last night, Dan.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not the kind of eye-rolling fun that Bad Boys 2 was for me. I know what this is, right? It's got its niche. It's got a spot. Of course, it's unrealistic, but it's not like slow-motion explosion unrealistic. You know what I mean? It fits. I know what it is. It's cute. It's funny. It's innocent. And, yeah, this is an enjoyable movie. It's not an Oscar winner. It's not a superstar thing, but it's good.
2010, She's Out of My League. If you missed it last night, I guess it's not too late. You can theoretically go back and watch now. It is streaming on Netflix. A couple of great lines in this movie. One that I just loved is when Molly says Kirk is in aviation to her parents. And then he's mad at her later because she lied about him, and she obviously doesn't like him as much as he thinks she does because she lied to her parents. And he said, "You lied." She said, "No, I didn't." He said, "You said I'm in aviation." And she said, "Yeah." He goes, and by the way, he works for TSA. Like, he checks IDs, you know? Yeah. He says, "That's like saying the guy who shovels elephant bleep at the circus is in show business. No, he's just the elephant bleep guy. That's me. I'm that guy." But there are 6 or 7 little lines in this movie that have made the time work over the years that still get mentioned now in common parlance and in pop culture. All right, we got to get to our movie for tonight then. So let's do it. Movie number four for the Grant and Danny Movie Club in day four of the club's existence. Danny, what have you come up with?
So I'm throwing basically some universally accepted good movies. What I did from this is I pulled from Oscar winners and nominees over the last 20, 30 some years or so, movies that everybody can kind of enjoy. So I will read the list and you're going to weigh in first. Yes?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Shawshank Redemption.
Absolutely.
Goodfellas.
No.
Forrest Gump.
No. Too long.
Braveheart.
Absolutely.
Dead Poets Society.
Oof. Yes.
Few Good Men.
Yes.
Good Will Hunting.
No. A great movie, though.
Slumdog Millionaire.
No.
That's a no. The Social Network.
Yes.
The Departed.
I don't know why I was so high-pitched for that. Yes, it's my favorite movie ever.
Fargo.
Yes, great movie. Haven't seen it in forever. I hope that
The
wins.
Fugitive.
No.
Ooh, bummer, man. Harsh on Harrison Ford there. Scent of a Woman.
I've never seen that movie. Who's in that?
It's Al Pacino, man. It's a great flick. He won an Oscar for that.
I'll say yes, because I love Al Pacino, and I've never seen
it. That's where the hoo-ah comes from that you everybody overdoes. E.T., The Extraterrestrial.
No, 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 no. I might have to break the contract for the show if we did that.
Yeah, you're right. It was too popular. The Sting. Robert Redford.
No.
Crazy. Godfather.
No.
All right, very good. Who's up? Oh, wait, one more. Star Wars.
Absolutely not.
Irresponsible. Okay, who's up?
Tom.
All right, Danny.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Braveheart.
No.
Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
Hey,
A Few Good Men.
No.
Tough.
Social Network.
No.
Ooh. The
Michael
Departed.
Sarah, too.
What was that one? I couldn't hear it.
The Departed.
Yes.
That's a Y. Fargo.
Yes.
Son of a Woman.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Dar.
Yes, sir.
Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Dead Poets Society.
No.
Ooh. All right. The Departed.
Yes.
Fargo.
Yes.
Son of a Woman.
No.
Okay, we are down.
Who's closest to the studio?
We are down to The Departed and Fargo.
It's got to be Brock.
Go get Brock.
Bring me Brock, please.
For the record, I really hope it's Fargo. I want to watch that. I might watch both anyway now because I haven't watched Fargo in years. I like this process, by the way, that we've executed over the last few days.
I was going to say it's very fair, but it hurts feelings every time. Where just things are summarily dismissed incorrectly.
It's mostly seamless, but there's no good reason we're saying no to anything specifically.
Right.
Okay, Brock is ready.
All right, Brock, we've got two choices. Danny, give him the choices.
Just top your head, no wrong answer. The Departed or Fargo?
Fargo.
Yeah!
Fargo it is! Fargo, everybody.
Fargo it is. Grant and Danny movie night. Movie number four, Fargo is the film. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan, the final hour of the show next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.